In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking at Psalm 6 today. It's a relatively short psalm, about 11 verses. But it's powerful. You see, the theme is somebody's suffering. And I'm going to talk about that notion of the humanity of the Psalms for the better part of this first section before we start to look at the Psalm itself. You see, our Lord tells us, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was in prison and you came to see me. I was sick and you visited me. Now this is the principle of judgment. If you look at Matthew 25, the Lord says, perhaps I should read a little bit of it for you. I don't know if I'm there, you know. Jesus is identified with everybody, but especially the poor and suffering. And that's why, you see, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is Matthew 25, and I just read verse 34. For I was hungry, and you gave me drink, a stranger, and you welcomed me, naked, and you clothed me, ill, and you cared for me, in prison, and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you, a stranger, and welcome you, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? And the king will say to them in reply, Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me. So you see, the Word of God incarnate is identified with all those who suffer. And that's reflected in the Psalms. This psalm is called the Shigayon of David. Maybe the editors would have a better idea of that than we do. You see, it's a psalm of a person who is sick. And I'm sorry, I read the wrong title. Psalm 6, all it says is, it's for the musical director upon stringed instruments, upon the octave, the Psalm of David. And that's our best guess. We don't really know what some of those words mean in that direction. At the heading of the psalm. But it's meant to give us some sort of sense, mostly for its musical execution. Now, it's a psalm of lament. It's one of the seven penitential psalms. There are psalms, if I could find it easily for you, is one of those psalms that are, it's the first in a list of seven penitential psalms. And so it's a deep human experience which participates and expresses itself in and through the Word of God. But this establishes a bond between the psalmist and the Lord Christ, who prayed this psalm. It's amazing to think of Jesus praying this psalm. But he did. And he prays it, and everybody who prays it. And that's the mystery of these psalms. That's why they're so hard, in a way, to comment on. We've made great strides in the last few years, linguistically, in understanding more of the psalm. But we've lost some of the universality of the psalm. This is Christ praying in his church. Therefore, this is Christ praying in me and in you. And I have to get in sync with that. But not just for myself, because as I pray this, I am the church. When in the monastery we sang these things, we sang them in the name of Christ and the person of Christ, but also in the name of the church and in the person of the church. Whatever you did to the least of my brothers, you did to me. So the voice of the church at its depth is the voice of Christ. And the Psalms are the way that we can get in touch with the movement of the soul of Christ and pray with him and pray in him. Now that's what Psalms have always been. Now when the church tells priests you should pray a certain number of psalms every day, and we have a list in a breviary, they're all printed out for us, Monday this, Tuesday that, and so forth. But there's a deeper principle being at work here. The Lord Christ is identified with all those who suffer. Whatever you did for the least of my brothers, you did for me. So the Lord is praying in all those who suffer. And the suffering people are praying in Christ. Now this is a deep mystery. And frankly, we have a lot of work to do to recover. I'll read a little bit of Augustine for you, and you'll see what I mean. We've made great strides philologically and historically, and have located these songs in a very powerful way. But we run the risk of losing the fact that this is Christ praying this psalm, and we pray it in him. And so, when it says, "Forgive me my sins," the Lord is praying for his body, not for himself. He doesn't have any sins. But it takes a long time to have our psyche, our spirit, our soul enter into this mystery. And so the Psalms are the door into the soul of the poor and suffering Christ. And that's why they're so powerful. They're the entrance into the soul of the praising Christ. I give you thanks, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you reveal them to little ones. Such was your will. And then the very next words are, "Come to me, you who labor under burden, and I will refresh you." The Psalms are this sacrament of the soul of Christ. And it can impress, that soul can impress itself on us. And that's why they're so valuable. Our problem, we priests, we have a lot to do. And so we usually get this, and we kind of read it like you'd read the newspaper, without any thought or pronouncing it or whatever. And it's a great advantage when you can recite with others, or at least recite out loud yourself, so that you can hear for yourself the voice of Christ praying through you and lifting up the world to the Father for His mercy, His forgiveness, His healing, whatever it is. And so this Psalm 6, you see, is a psalm of somebody who's suffering and identifies it as related to his own sin. How can Jesus do that? How can he say on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama hazaktani. How can he say that? When he is hypostatically, infinitely, eternally joined to the very Word of God, who is the second person of the Trinity. Those are mysteries, my friends, that are so hard to articulate, but they are important. They are important. And so this psalm, which is a psalm of a sick man, is the one that I want to think about today. So the title, as it's said here, this Le Menaseach, is for the leader with stringed instruments. And then upon the eighth. Anybody want a topic for a doctorate? You could try that one. But you'll never finish, I don't think. Mizmor Le David. Now that's a psalm of David, belonging to David, Le David. That's the title. Now we don't, they're in our Bibles, but not in our breviaries, as I remember. And so then the psalm begins, Adonai, do not in your anger reprove me. And not in your anger correct me or chastise me. This is where it starts. How could Jesus pray that? How could he pray, why have you abandoned me? You see? He is so identified. In one of his sermons, Augustine says, I am in glory. I am surrounded by angels. I am basking in the very intimate union with my Father. And yet, I still suffer hunger. I still suffer loneliness. I still suffer pain and persecution. And so, this is a psalm which, if we ponder it, will open up not only our own soul to us, but the soul of Christ.